am 2 seconds from being on you like white on rice and a glass of milk and a paper plate in a snowstorm.
I don't give a damn who you are. This is America, Jack.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Excuse me?
Are you going to bark all day, little doggy, or are you going to bite?
This is the Brian Suits Show.
I was all excited to talk about Grizzly reintroduction today, and then Iran sticks his head up. Just a complete shock and surprise out of left field. Iran exacts their fiery revenge against Israel after the assassination by bombing by JDAM. They got JDAM'd. As it turns out, not very popular Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps general. Israel and the United States has a habit of killing guys that aren't really actually missed that much, whether it's Qasem Soleimani or this chap in Damascus. Anyway, we'll get to it. As the administration deployed a malarkey cluster bomb, a pretty big one, Admiral John Kirby yesterday, just trying to sell the issue to all of us that the steely-eyed resolve of President Joe Biden, not at all a lifelong of bad calls, but no. His resolve has guided through a stormy time, Israel and the United States, because he has Israel back. And his don't foreign policy is just working out swimmingly and the whole thing. Was it even a real strike? Well, don't worry. The elite counter-malarkey team, counter-malarkey 6 actual, is out here on this. And I got to say, producer Greg, back. Wait, are you?
I'm
Greg.
Back with a vengeance.
You're back after skiving off to be Dave Ross.
I did my best Dave Ross imitation for 3 days last week.
So you will give us traffic and weather on the tens.
Absolutely,
okay,
you got it.
Excellent.
I'm your man.
Let's go with sports first. The Mariners are on a crappy streak, not a losing streak. It's a crappy streak.
Yeah, it was a tough game yesterday.
It was
some interleague play against the Chicago Cubs. A close game, and Julio Rodriguez was originally given a mental health day off.
So
he's had a rough start. So what do they do?
Mental health reserve.
They bring in our superstar, alleged, in the bottom of the ninth inning with 2 outs and put him on first. And then all heck broke loose from there. So his mental health day off went from bad to worse in a flash. He was the last out of the game.
I know this is probably politically incorrect to say, but I'm not a fan of the Indian food, to be honest with you. I think that tandoori barbecue style overcooks chicken.
That's
it certainly overcooks
unpopular
lamb.
Unpopular opinion.
I know. And then wait, it's going to get more unpopular. So I had the lamb, and we're the only people in the restaurant in downtown Olympia on Friday. No one except the door won't stop being used because DoorDash people are coming in. So everyone's DoorDashing it, but no one's sitting there and having it. Anyway, we're sitting there minding our business, having it. I have the lamb. And the kid has the buttered chicken. You know, it comes in a sauce. It's, you know, a dairy-based sauce, you know, the whole thing. And the chicken is mixed in there, and I'm helping myself to dipping the bread in there, the naan.
Oh, the best.
Yeah, and I kept getting corrected that naan is Hindi for bread. Okay, so don't say naan bread, just say naan.
Anyway,
I keep dipping my garlic naan in there, and I'm good with it. I that's all I need. And we get home 7 p.m. on Friday.
Was there a rumbling in your tumbly?
No, I'm good.
Oh.
I'm totes good. And then around 3 a.m., the kid is minding her own business, being asleep. And then the big D came knocking. And so that was Saturday. The puking, the whole thing. And I mean, it's obviously some minor food poisoning or something. And we all know, we've all maybe done that. And you let it get out. Solid stuff comes up for 2 pukes. And then, you know, we're drinking and it's all bile, you know, still vomiting and all that. But you clear out. And but just a bad scene. On that whole thing.
That is no fun.
And I mean, it's a restaurant by restaurant, you know, call. I don't know what would, you know, maybe the chicken was sitting out and it wasn't cooked thoroughly or something. But I mean, I will say that I've never been a huge fan.
Never be afraid to rub your meat.
Never been a huge fan because it really, really is an acquired taste and the required skill to do that tandoori correctly, or else you bake the crap out of it. And I don't know how you can screw up lamb, but the guy found a way. The chef found a way, I should say. And otherwise, it was a pretty staycation-y weekend. It never dried out to mowing level.
Standards, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, half the lawn is great for wiffle ball. The other half is great for losing a wiffle ball. And so it's the backstop is this, like no kidding, half a foot regular grass. I mean, it's going to go to seed and it's ultimately good for it and the whole thing. But yeah, I should have been mowing, but it just never gave me the sun to do it. And stuff. Did you get out of town, do anything?
Didn't get out of town, but yesterday was absolutely glorious. We spent a lot of time outside, and I had a much different culinary experience than you did with my family. We went to my favorite Mexican restaurant in the area, Plaza Garcia, in Juanita.
And Garcia place.
Don't sleep on the carne asada. My gosh, Brian. And the chips and salsa come complimentary. A glorious, glorious meal.
And you know what? Because there are not enough authentic Mexican restaurants in the area. I didn't grow up appreciating Mexican food. Mexican food is not hard shell tacos. Okay. And so I can recommend for you personally some great Roach Coaches.
Tacos Al Pastor all day long.
In LA, Burbank and Silmar and Palmdale. And that really I did the opposite on the Indian food thing. With Mexican food, I turned the corner when I had good authentic stuff. And then the kid's best friend, having a mom who's like actually from Mexico, helped too because she made great food. And I'm like, oh, I never had this. This is not like, you know, a Port Angeles guy opening up a can of beans or something. But I'm pretty proud of today's morning montage, I should say. It's got it all. And I kept it tight and bright to a minute.
I'm excited.
And so let's
get into a montage.
To Iran in this moment.
Don't.
How'd that work out?
Has this now escalated into a wider war?
I don't think there's any reason that it needs to.
And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
Welcomes you to a homeless encampment, once again built by the now infamous Steve Irwin.
Three times in 6 months, he's built cabins here on Seattle Parks and Recreation land. This is his home.
Draconian 1864 law to take away this right, then women could die from this 1864 ruling.
And what's he wearing?
Nothing, literally nothing.
Okay, so he is completely naked.
There you go, hit it all.
That's what you ended with?
Right, yeah. I hadn't heard that. Okay, so apparently Planet Fitness came down with a corporate policy they're now declaring as disastrous, that they said if you identify as a woman, you can use a woman's bathroom or whatever. And so a guy in North Carolina did, and guess what? Women in North Carolina won't tolerate the last turkey in the shop in their bathroom. And sure enough, a guy thought, well, it's a corporate policy. And so people are fleeing Planet Fitness, which kind of, I got to say, I would endorse. If there was one within 50 miles of me, I'd be going there, because what I liked about it was the vastness of it. Like if you want to get on a treadmill or whatever, there's so much stuff and there's no like yelling personal coach screaming for you to take one more or whatever, do one more rep or whatever. I like Planet Fitness. And what they've done is sort of a giant Dylan Mulvaney, apparently, but just, you know, in certain parts of the country, in like most, that's not your brand. When women go to a gym, they want woman time in the dressing room and all that. And this is just, you know, it's not the the brand, and they're paying for it. And so I have the 911 call, not ready for it yet, but a really horrific scene in Australia where a man apparently was targeting women. So that's what the Australian authorities said, because five of the six dead are women. One woman handing her baby to somebody. Did you hear about that? Oh, really? Okay. Let's to Dan Newhouse, 4th District Republican from Eastern Washington. How you doing today?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, Dan Newhouse, third generation Yakima farmer, a graduate of the Washington State University for your fourth district of the state of Washington, Republican. What problem? Why do you have a problem with grizzlies eating babies and cows and stuff?
Well, call me unreasonable. My go Cougars. Thanks for the shout out for WSU. But grizzlies are fine. They have a place in this world, just like any other creature. But there's a problem. The problem I have is that this administration has heard from the people of North Central Washington loud and clear in multiple public meetings. Overwhelmingly, people in that part of the state have made it clear to this administration they don't want grizzly bears introduced into their region. And that's my problem. I don't have anything against the bears themselves, but I think that Washington, D.C. should listen to the people who will be most impacted by this decision. So that's my problem.
Now, you remember the Appropriations Committee, so I don't know if you have your eyes on this or not, but what do they do in Montana? If grizzly bear DNA or whatever, if it's shown in postmortem that a grizzly bear ate a cow, is there a fund to remunerate the farmer, the rancher for that? Or what do they do? Just say, oh, well, sucks to be you?
Well, I've asked that question, actually. In fact, we had the Secretary of Agriculture in front of the Appropriations Committee just a couple weeks ago, and I asked them that. And I didn't get a clear answer as to what would be available to ranchers on the if they do have animals that are destroyed by the bears. You know, in some cases, we have that kind of a fund available for different instances of loss of animals. I can't tell you for sure that there's something in place for that.
And so, like, the reintroduction of wolves was overwhelmingly a good thing to bring that apex predator back. But grizzly bears are a bit different in that they're the largest animal in North America that actually actively hunts anything it wants, including human beings. And so did the environmental impact statement from the National Park Service and Fish and Wildlife and the rest of them, did they address bear on human eating?
Indirectly, I suppose you could say they did. They're putting together, this is an experimental population, and their plans for the management of the bears do offer actions available to property owners to take if there is a confrontation between humans and bears or livestock and bears.
Like, you can shoot them, right? But, you have the, if it's a threat to your life, you feel a threat, you can shoot it.
Yes. That's my understanding. Yes. And so there are provisions that allow that because of the nature of the management rule and the experimental population. But, why bring that upon us? Why should we have to deal with the aftermath of a tragedy? Why don't we prevent it in the first place?
So let me ask you, is the plan to come to the middle of downtown Sunnyside and open up a big cage and just let it go? Or were they going to, like, do it alpine? Or what? How do you reintroduce a bear that's never been in the Cascades and doesn't even have a grandfather that was in the Cascades?
Well, that's the thing. Over time, there have been bears in the North Cascades, absolutely. In fact, I think the latest one to be seen was back in the late 90s, mid to late 90s. So they do come and go out of Canada primarily, and there are bears once in a while in northern Washington. The problem is that it's not a great area for them to live. There's not a lot of food source, and the concern of the farmers and ranchers and members of the community in North Central Washington is they're going to come down to the valleys where there's apples, where there's cattle, where there's, you know, people's garbage are very attractive to bears. That, you know, they're big animals. They have to eat a lot.
They're big time opportunity eaters too. And so, you got to work for your dinner if you're gonna, if you can rely on deer. But if you're gonna rely on apples falling on the ground or free garbage, then you're gonna walk back to Sunnyside and camp out at a dumpster.
Well, the easiest path of least resistance. I think that's what the people up there are concerned with. They don't want to have to worry about their kids waiting at a bus stop or their cattle that are on range and having to deal with wolves, and cougars, and now grizzly bears.
Well,
and they're not open a cage, they're going to airlift them in. That's my understanding.
Oh,
they're going to.
Oh, good. And then fast rope them down. The thing is, a black bear from Salton to Tenino, you clap your hands and a black bear will run away. A grizzly bear has no natural predators. It's afraid of nothing. It's not. It doesn't know that that's a gun, a bang stick you're holding. It's afraid of nothing, and you smell delicious. And that's the experience of people in Montana and the rest of the, like, even hikers, where they come around the corner and the advice about look bigger and be loud. You're just waving your hand, saying I'm soft on the outside, crunchy on the inside. Come eat me, and the bear will oblige.
Come get me, yeah. And the thing is, these bears have a tremendous range, 500 to 1,000 miles. So just because they're dropping them outside of Okanagan doesn't mean they won't head to other parts of the state looking for food. That's exactly what they'll do.
Yeah, they need a huge range. Can I pivot to Alejandro Mayorkas?
Oh, sure.
He was in front of you guys, and do you think this impeachment has got any legs? Is it going to go anywhere? Or is it just, are we just being honest, is it just performative?
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's a legitimate effort on the part of Congress to hold accountable this administration for abject failure with their policies governing our border. You know, we've had over the last 3 years, more than the entire state of Washington come into our country and border crossings on the southern and northern borders. And I think that the willful ignoring of laws, the actual changing of procedures, rules, and regulations from the previous administration in this one led to the crisis that we're seeing in illegal immigrants, illegal migrants, drug trafficking, human trafficking, the crime associated with all that. And so, we passed it out of the House. It's in the hands of the Senate. They've got to deal with it here very soon. And so I think it's a very legitimate effort. It's not just grandstanding or politics that we're trying to get an advantage over this administration. It's holding them accountable.
Well, and as you know, you represent a district centered around Yakima that has one of the most dense, long-time Mexican-American communities in America. So famous in Mexico, in fact, that I forgot his name, the president of Mexico, that before he landed in D.C., he landed in Yakima. He spoke in Yakima. This is like 15 years ago. And a friend of mine, a sixth-generation guy up in Sela, sixth-generation farmer, said it's not that they're coming from Mexico. It's that we don't know they're coming because they rely on that labor. And even though they're sixth generation, owners and American citizens, they rely on that labor. So we, at some point we need it. But they all had work permits for a long time. And so it's funny that the myth, the Democratic myth that, all the Hispanics are against tightening the border. I mean, I know people that rely on this labor for their farm, but they just want to know who's coming in the country.
Well, farmers are just like everybody else. We recognize that the immigrant labor is very important to our industry, agricultural in particular, in this instance, and many others. But as citizens of this country concerned about our safety and our welfare, we want to make sure that people coming into our country come legally. And that they are coming for the right reasons. And that's the problem. We cannot have just open borders with where anybody coming in from any country in the world, and we have no idea why they're coming, what their intentions are when they get here. You know, we, as farmers, we feel just as vulnerable when that happens as anybody else. We want a legal source of workers for the agricultural industry. And that's been one of my biggest priorities the whole time I've been in Congress, and I'll continue to work on that.
Yeah, I hate the transition to the term migrant. They're still, my mom was a legal alien. My mom came from tunneled out of Canada legally and was a resident alien here, and she always said illegal alien. So, all right, well, you're down there in Sunnyside. Are you growing that Sunnyside asparagus?
That's starting to come now. We used to have it on our farm. We don't today, but that grows very well in the Yakima Valley.
So yeah, my friends at Camp Fices are there right off 82 and with their asparagus farm. So I'll tell them you said hi. Can I say that?
Absolutely.
All right, Fourth District Congressman Dan Newhouse, there from D.C. Thanks for have a productive day. And
we'll
keep an eye out for the Grizzlies. Let's keep them out. So, all right, thanks a lot. Have a good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes, Dan Newhouse. Friend of the station, by the way, friend of the station. When we come back, the malarkey cluster bomb that is retired Admiral John Kirby in regards to that this was a real, genuine attack on Israel, and only the steely resolve of Squinty McBotox kept it away. AM 770 KTTH. Four impacts from four ballistic missiles fired by Iran that did hit the airbase in southern Sinai. And those excited chaps are Israeli Arabs who are saying a fourth one because they saw four impacts. And then if one uses the flash-to-bang method, you determine that you're about 2 miles away from the impact. But that's why this is. That's why he's yelling 4-4, because there were four quick flashes. Then you start counting about 3 seconds per mile, and you yield a result thus that you're about 2 miles away from there. And so the idea that it was because the White House line on Sunday morning, yesterday morning, was it was a meaningless strike. It killed no one. Everything was intercepted. All's well. Nothing to look for over here. But in spite of American media networks going overboard in not showing the video that I just played you the sound of, some missiles did make it through with the help of the U.S. Air Force, the RAF, and even the Armée de l'Air, the French Air Force. So on, you know the Twitter, producer Greg?
I know the website formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, that's right. Twitter, formerly known as Twitter. And so I have to get this. On Saturday, I was watching a couple things, including the open source website called ADS-B, where if you're flying in commercial airspace, you have to broadcast your location heading. You send a satellite signal up to this system that sends you back a display of the entire world, if you want, or just military or whatever.
That is not real.
And on ADS-B at on Saturday at 2:13, I tweeted out the track of an American KC-135 Stratotanker, actually from Fairchild, that's flying out of Al Udeid in Kuwait. And this tanker was on station. It was flying the characteristic racetrack oval where aircraft are refueling on each leg, the straight legs of the racetrack. And it was up over northern Iraq. And that's an indication, a big-time indication, that there's a large presence in the air awaiting something. And this was at the time that the Iraqi, probably the Iranian Shahed drones were being launched out of western Iraq and et cetera. Anyway, it was, as I said, kind of like after Qasem Soleimani was killed, there was a virtually performative, choreographed, like the Globetrotters strike against the American base Al-Asad in Anbar province in Iraq. The Iranians, I mean, almost literally called ahead, not us directly, but a source in Iraq they knew would pass on to the Americans in Iraq that there's a thing coming. They're going to strike the Al-Asad base. It's going to hit on the runway. They're going to fire 6 to 8 ballistic missiles. And so the American security detail was told to skive off into the desert for 5 miles or so, and they did. And then the U.S. Air Force crew on Al-Asad were in their bunkers hours before the missiles hit because the Iranians clearly did not want to cause the United States to be dealing with dead Americans. Because Qasem Soleimani, turns out, had as many political enemies in Iran as friends, as did the guy that they killed, that they whacked at the Damascus consulate. And the Iranian government's in a position where they have to strike angrily at the Zionist enemy or the American enemy or whatever. And it's that performative. They act like they struck a mighty blow. And then we act like we guarded our Israeli friends from receiving a mighty blow and all this. And that's supposed to be politically acceptable to Netanyahu. And this is supposed to be the masterful don't foreign policy of Joe Biden. And he even said that again on Friday when he was asked about what do you have to say to the Iranian government. And also, we know that they know that we know they have to do something. They have to do something and then call it a mighty blow against the Jews and the whole thing. But he is such a strong leader that all he has to do is utter rasp, don't, and then they won't. This is the dumbest thing. That's it's a talking point that some 28-year-old White House liberal Democratic staffer came up with in their communications room that if they just have them say don't, it'll be strong, it'll be patent-like or something. And he unveiled that, what, about 2 months ago? I thought we had that don't. He just rasps that. Mm-hmm. So they're still on that. So this is Friday. They know this is coming. And they know that this is about to sound really empty in about 12 hours from when he said this on Friday. It's going to, or 24 hours, it's going to sound really, really empty. So I would change it. Because, by the way, don't means nothing unless you also answer or else. And he does not, because it's really clear that he's really good at saying don't, but then not doing anything about it. And here's that.
Mr. President, to Iran in this moment.
Don't.
Then CNN's MJ Lee asked President Biden this.
Mr. President, are American troops at risk as well?
We are devoted to the defense of Israel. We will support Israel. We will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed.
And by the way, they did. And for the record, and they did it. Unlike apparently, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about, because I really didn't count on them doing it from Iranian soil, but they did. They also did it with their militia in Iraq. And the Houthis got in the act and the whole thing. So it was all the usual suspects getting a piece of this. And we knew it. We knew why the Iranians were doing it, because they don't really want to, produce some huge butcher's bill of a dead Zionist, because they know that. And you must know this, because you're not going to hear this during the Biden administration, but the number one foreign policy aim of Iran is to guard and protect their nuclear program at all costs. At all costs. Politically, though, they have to, for their people, show that they're not a paper tiger and that the might and the roar of their rockets sounds like the roar of the lion, or, you know, it's all that. That's what the news anchors say. And we knew this was happening. There's a way to manage it. And so they look pretty lame because we shot everything down, according to the releases that they fired 300 and we shot 99% down. Well, four is, and also, by the way, I am aware of the fact that sometimes a Patriot missile or the Israeli Arrow missile cannot sympathetically detonate the warhead. The warhead, the broken missile, broken ballistic missile comes down, and the warhead still goes boom. And so that's what those four missile impacts are here. Because they were intercepted. I saw that visual. I visually can confirm that they were intercepted, but the warheads still had the momentum, and they had 5,000 feet to get down to Israel. And they did. Anyway, those are the four warheads that disagree with Joe Biden, who said don't. They said do. And so there you go.
I also have a John Kirby here with George Stephanopoulos from ABC.
Oh, I've got a Kirby montage. He was the cluster malarkey bomb that they put out there because he's military. Karine Jean-Pierre can't speak this language. They think that Kirby can. So you roll yours to see if it's.
The president also called on Iran not to retaliate, but they did anyway. What does that tell you?
Well, again, what it tells me, as I looked at last night, what it tells me is that we can make good on our commitment to defend Israel. It tells me that Israel does have superior military capability. Just think about the hardware that Iran threw into the sky and how little damage that caused. I mean, that's a real testament to how strong the IDF is.
The really bizarre thing is, from Biden on down, the idea that you just absorb a blow without answering it. Well, where were you telling the Iranians that? If they listen to you and you say don't, why didn't you tell them, take the win? But that's what Kirby claimed on Meet the Press. Because he started off, it was a day of Kirby. It went from NBC in the morning, which is the closest thing to a speakerphone with the White House, to Shannon Bream on Fox. Oops, she brings the hard questions. So this is Kirby insisting that, and by the way, they're letting it out that old steely gaze McBotox told Netanyahu to just take the win. Don't even just consider it a bad swing. They missed a swing and the whole thing. Because Biden, who's never been to war, doesn't speak this language. And what's really funny is the liberal member of the wartime cabinet that they wish would replace Netanyahu, the labor guy, Benny Gantz, he led the charge. He's leading the charge saying we must strike a mighty blow at the time and place of our choosing and the whole thing. And Biden doesn't speak that language. He doesn't get it at all. And the gap between the average Israeli citizen on the street and Biden right now is getting wider. And they're trying for that. They're trying to please these 26-year-olds at the University of Michigan who aren't going to vote anyway, and they're alienating this country's adult population because they're the ones catching the falling warheads and stuff. They know that overwhelmingly it worked. Nothing hit Tel Aviv and the whole thing. But still, though, they tried. If it weren't for the extraordinary technology possessed by the Israeli Air Force and the Jordanian Air Force and the U.S. Air Force NORAF, there'd be all kinds of dead Israelis today. And the fact that there aren't is not a victory. But here he is.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that success ought to have.
Whatever that means. He did sit down on Fox. And as we all know, if you're given free money, that means you can use your gas allowance on your fentanyl, or you can get more shoes for your kids or whatever. It's fungible. Money that's given to you that you don't have to create, print, scrape up, steal, whatever. It's fungible. And so he has a pretty good disdain.
Is it not fair to say
he does a good disdainful laugh here?
There have been moves by this administration that have opened up cash and other opportunities for them, which we know are fungible in ways that are not helping the Iranian people, but are benefiting the elites and people.
Not the laugh.
People there smirk. Who chant death to America and death to Israel.
You and I have had this fungibility argument before. I obviously take a different issue or take an issue with that characterization. The sanctions.
He can't deny it. So anyway, when we come back. Is it a repeat of the Heidi game? I didn't know about this Billy Joel concert that was broadcast. A New York channel just went away from it. And like the Heidi game, AM770 KTTH. Joel is, he's very sing-along with, and that, but that's his signature song, and so I guess I just don't watch CBS that much. While I love her on their Channel 7, I'm not a big fan of their parent network. Don't see a lot of it. Only see 60 Minutes regularly, and even then, it's only in cuts, and so I didn't know. I did not know that, that there was some big tape Madison Square Garden concert. So that was the end of his residence thing?
Oh, it was marking his 100th show at Madison Square Garden, which is an unbelievable feat to accomplish.
And that was when? Saturday night?
I'll just say over the weekend. I'm not exactly sure which
over the weekend. And for some reason, local networks, when they got to a certain time, and that happened to be the end of the special.
As the climax of Piano Man.
So this is the network playing the Billy Joel special, and there's people singing along and the whole thing.
It's emotional.
And it's sorry. It's hey, down the line, affiliates, this is going to run 1 minute into 8 p.m. or whatever. Well, CBS 4 New York really didn't care. They're showing the front row. Everyone, of course, everybody knows all the words.
They're all embracing, singing along.
Yeah.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
So another day, another panda birthday at the New York Zoo. I mean, you would be, I mean, if, you know, you're just watching it on TV, but you've been watching it for an hour. And then there's an intention. It's going to, you know, it's been pre-taped, so it's been building up to this conclusion, and then they cut in with the panda birthday, with all the, and I mean, everybody in every market in America holds their local news with the same disdain.
Live from CBS 4, this is your news now.
A traffic nightmare at SeaTac. As the Mariners now tied up at the top of the ninth inning, they're in Game 7 of the World Series. But never mind that. It's just a traffic nightmare. Trump is starting his shut up hooker bribery trial.
Before he went in about the trial about to get underway. Will Sharp.
So we'll grab that audio because he's doing one of those reverby foyer press conferences.
Those are your favorite.
And yeah, I mean, the Kevin McCarthy school of press availability. And if you're following along at home, this is the one that is the shakiest foundation of all of them, frankly, in front of a jury. Today they're selecting a jury, and one of the questions is, what's your view of Donald Trump? And I thought, I was not aware there was a fill in the blank that it would not be.
Here's horrible. What it sounded like right before he entered the courtroom.
Assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. It's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case.
The PA on there.
What's the PA?
For once, he's absolutely not exaggerating. No American president has ever been on there. The DNC, the dark blue people of New York and people that work for MSNBC are hoping that this is his downfall. And all that, and that the Republicans are so disgusted by this, they stop liking him. Sorry, but even the never Trumper Sununu, Governor Sununu, is on board on this. He was. Did you see him with Stephanopoulos?
No, I missed that.
Stephanopoulos thought he was holding his feet to the fire about, well, isn't this the guy that a month ago you were on stage with Nikki Haley and you said he's unelectable and all that? And he said, you know what? 200 million Americans disagree, 51% of the people voting, and all that. And that is what frustrates Democrats the most. And that's why, for instance, MSNBC literally is going to have former U.S. attorneys, not one of them a porn star, as pundits all day long, because they're sure, they're positive that this is the moonshot, that you're going to be so disgusted. Look, for years we knew this, and they're disgusted with you for not rejecting the guy because he had an affair with a porn star on his third wife, who was pregnant with his kid, who was grown up to be freakishly, monstrously tall. And then he paid her to shut the hell up, and she did. I would sue her for breach of contract and all that. But anyway, in New York, what they're doing is there's a misdemeanor for fraudulent business records because of the way the droopy Michael Cohen was paid to bribe her. And it was done with the intent to defraud you. They're calling covering up on an embarrassing thing a stealing election. And I'm sorry, but the Democratic Party has a long storied history of hiding the past of its candidate for president who later won. JFK was the JFK Jr. of his time. He was a total dreamboat. He had an affair with Marilyn Monroe, and she was having an affair with a mobster in Chicago at the time. And that was known amongst people that knew what was going on, but it was never, ever, it never made the papers because he was a liberal darling. Today, John F. Kennedy would be called a MAGA Republican with his foreign policy and his pro-business stuff. But at the time, you know, he was just a Democrat, but he was a good-looking Democrat with a war record and all thing. And so, yeah, he was doinking Marilyn Monroe, you name it. You name it, he doinked it, okay? Everybody knew that, but back then no one said it. And then you fast forward to Bill Clinton, who JFK was his personal idol. And if it had a pulse or a normal body temperature, he slept with it. And overnight, by the way, Tucker Carlson released footage of Clinton at Epstein at Pedophile Island. I'm waiting for the Tucker Carlson Telegram feed to accept me to see it before it's deleted, as they say. But there's a vidcap at True Social, and it's Clinton in a pool up to the waist. He's in like some infinity pool at Epstein's Pedophile Island.
I plead guilty to that.
And guess what? He's chatting up some nubile, tan, young woman in a bikini.
Just stop it.
And this isn't 30 years ago. This is like 10 years ago. And so...
I can't
wait to see that. And so anyway, the whole stance of I'm shocked that a politician, when he was a wealthy private citizen, had an affair, it's falling on kind of deaf ear. And they're going to be stunned when contributions to Trump go up and the whole thing, as if they have a leg to stand on. You know who didn't forget? You know who was not in the mix for... Punditry Sunday was Kamala Harris because she was out in Arizona. But so they brought out the Mark Kelly, the Senator Mark Kelly, to say arcane the 1864 law. It's going to kill women. The Republicans are killing women. And here's a new one. It's draconian.
Donald Trump. Owns this. He said just yesterday that he broke Roe v. Wade. And because he did that, this enabled our court to bring back this draconian 1864 law to take away this right, send doctors to jail.
In about 55 days, but something will be done. But anyway, oh, sure, you can tell me that he was a naval aviator, test pilot, and astronaut, but right now he's just a capital D. The second he ran for that seat, in Arizona, he became a solid D, a big, giant capital D in Comic Sans 24-point font. So there you go. All right, back in a second. Hour number two is kicking off in mere minutes. Here's draconian, how the tyranny of the clock just keeps clicking. AM 770 KTTH.
That's on top of everything else that we know and don't know yet. Based on what we've just been able to see, and because we've seen it or not, doesn't mean it hasn't happened. But just limited to what we have seen.